we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Oh, well, hello there. How unexpected, you being here. My name's Chris Foote, and you probably know where I'm at, right? I'm at George Bush and I-75. Thousands of people drive this road every day, and all of them are expecting to have a normal, routine, mundane, ordinary day. Every day, hundreds of wrecks happen on highways just like this in DFW. They're expecting just a normal day, and then bam, it's anything but ordinary. Sometimes it turns to a day they never forget. In fact, while driving over to this very spot, we're on 635, and out of nowhere, an 8-foot ladder appears right in front of me. I don't know how we survived it. Thank God. It was completely unexpected. Some people right now are on their way to work. They're expecting an ordinary day, but they might get a pink slip. They might be laid off. Some people might be driving home. They might be expecting a nice, quiet dinner, but maybe they get anything but that. Maybe they're served divorce papers, or the doctor's report comes in and they've got cancer. Life comes at you fast with unexpected events. Now that's a lot of negative stuff, but let me tell you, there's some positive things that could be happening on this road today. Somebody might be headed to work and they find out they got a promotion. Somebody might get home and find out that they're having that baby they've been praying for. Or they might run into someone that ends up being the love of their life. What am I trying to tell you? Here it is. There really are no ordinary days. There really are no routine days. The unexpected is happening every day. You need to be ready for it. And don't treat any day like it doesn't matter, because it's an unexpected, extraordinary day, every day. Glad you're here. My name is Chris Foote. I'm the lead pastor at this great church in Plano, Texas, called Redemption Church. And I welcome you. Thank you for worshiping with us today at our afternoon service. Today is Father's Day. And I got to tell you, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Make sure you speak to your dad today. I've been so blessed to be able to spend the day with my dad. Thank you, Dad. I love you. If your father is no longer on this earth, I want you to take time to think about him today. If you never knew your earthly father, why don't you think about those who stepped in that role and were a father to you, okay? Sometimes we just kind of gloss over those things. No, those are important things to think about. And always, we should give thanks to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Can we give him a hand today? He is our heavenly Father forever. He's the Father who created us, who breathed into us the breath of life, and then he recreated us, breathing into us his Spirit. We became spiritually alive when he breathed his Holy Spirit into us. We're starting a brand new sermon series today. What is it called?
Unexpected,
that's what it's called. If we're honest, I'm sure that we will agree that the unexpected makes us feel uneasy. Is that true? I don't like that. Like, you ever have a conversation with somebody and they said, "Hey, I need some time to talk with you," and you're like, "Oh no, this probably just ruined my day," right? It's like, whoa, they dropped that unexpected thing, and it's like, oh, we've got to have some time to talk, and it's like, oh no, what have I done wrong? When your check engine light turns on in your car unexpectedly, oh my goodness, that's the end of the world. Every time that happens, ding, I'm like, we're all going to die. There we go. Waiting for medical test results, no matter what they are, you're like, oh my goodness, and you're already up on WebMD, like, you know how sick you are because WebMD told you. Sometimes your phone rings and you see the caller ID and you think, uh-oh, that's not good. That's good. There's bad. You're like, announce it to them. Oh, no. Y'all pray, church. I'm about to talk to Vicky Skinner. And, you know, like that. Trying to plan your future. Do you ever have, especially married couples, you sit down, you have like, we're trying to plan our future. So we're going to talk about
money, and it's just, it feels like, ugh, oh no, this is an unexpected talk about that. Talking about your children, oh no. How are we going to get through? Can't we just watch TV instead? Or maybe your financial future, like how are you going to retire? And you're like, oh, I'd rather die than talk about those things. Right? We don't like these unexpected conversations. We don't like these unexpected happenings. We like to plan out everything. Is that true? Raise your hand. You like to know what's coming at you. You don't like surprises. All right. We're often reluctant about the unexpected. We're like, no, thank you. There's some people that's they might not like anything to happen in a church that's unexpected. I remember a group of church deacons in a church, and somebody came to them and said, you know, everything's so planned out. Wouldn't it be great if we had some spontaneity? And they all bristled and went, no. And one of them said, I'm not against spontaneity as long as it's planned. True story. We're reluctant to those unexpected things, and they could be good things, but we're so sure that they could also be bad that we say no thanks. We wish that we could just plan our day and avoid any and all deviations from the plan. Anybody try to do that with their daily planner? I remember when I was in college, I would try to plan out everything I was going to do. It was the only way I got stuff done. It was like, I'm going to work on this homework at this time, and then I'm going to take a 5-minute break, and then I'm going to work on this time subject, and I'm going to do on this. And it was like, oh, this is so good. I'm getting everything done. Ring of the phone, knock on the door, and it's like, no, I had a plan. Go away. I have a plan. Life doesn't go away when you have a plan. It doesn't. It's like, oh my gosh, I was supposed to have a vacation this week. Life doesn't care. Life don't care about that. Oh no, this was the day I was supposed to go to a job interview. Your broken down car don't care about that. It does not care. Unless you lock yourself in a dark room and binge watch Netflix all day. Some of you are like, that sounds good. Right? Unless you do that, we really never have a day that turns out like we expected. Right? Unless you do nothing in a dark basement watching, what are they binge watching? What? Chowder. Is that a TV show? Oh, it's a cartoon. All right. They're binge watching Chowder, internet. Unless you're doing that, days often come up unexpected. The unexpected always lays in wait. It's like an animal on the prowl. It gets way down. It's like, when is it most inopportune to mess with Chris Fluitt? And then there it is, right? We're talking things like relationships. You come up at the intersection of relationships, it's hardly ever like you expected. Emotions, forget about it. You want to deal with life, you have to deal with emotions, and they are crazy, out of control. Purpose, at the intersection of purpose and passion, all these things that you want to do in life, they never turn out quite like you expect. And then there is this fella we call God. Yeah. Right? Is it just me, or does God love to bring the unexpected into our life? Yeah. He loves to do it. He does it all the time. God has given us His Word. Let me tell you about God. He's given us His Word, and His Word never changes. It's always the same. It is full of promises of what He will do and what He won't do. And so you're like, oh, we feel pretty good. Nothing should have unexpected there, right? And then also His Word is filled with prophecy that tells you what will happen and what won't happen. His book tells you that. And we know what His will is because of His Word. We know what is His will. We know what isn't His will. Yet, I'm sure that we will all agree that God and what He does and how He does it somehow always catches us off guard. Right? You follow me on that? You have all of His promises. You have all of His prophecies. You have His will. It's settled in heaven forever. And yet, we're like, duh, I never saw that coming. You're not alone. You are not alone. Let's bow our heads in prayer now. No, but that's us all, right? That's all of us. Today I want to talk about God and His unexpected callings. His unexpected callings. God does this all throughout the Bible. We got Moses. What is Moses? Moses is a stuttering shepherd. God unexpectedly calls a deliverer. Gideon. Who's Gideon? Do you know who Gideon is? In the book of Judges, you need to know the story of Gideon. It's wild. He's a frightened man hiding in a wine press. He's hiding in a wine press. He's actually threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding. Unexpectedly, an angel appears, and God calls him a mighty man of valor and makes him a general of a small elite team that defeats an army that is too big to number. Oh, and by the way, they defeat them with pottery, trumpets, and torches. You could not ever predict that. Couldn't do it. David, the forgotten runt of the family, God unexpectedly calls to be a giant slayer and the greatest king of Israel. The 12 disciples, they were ordinary fishermen that there was nothing special about them, yet God unexpectedly calls them and they turn the world upside down. God often reaches down and picks up what people look past. He picks up what people are say is ordinary, routine, run-of-the-mill, mundane. He picks up those people and he gives them an unexpected calling. He takes the foolish people, raise your hand, that was your cue. He takes the foolish people and confounds the wise. That's what he does. That's what he does. It's unexpected. It's unexpected. It happens so frequently, Junia, we ought to know it's coming, yet with God it always shocks us. He is so amazing. Amen. He's so amazing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, actually, wait, if you have like an analog Bible, I like calling them analog Bibles, that's so vintage. Right? Or you can even look up your phone. I encourage you to get used to using phone apps, all right? And if you don't have any of that stuff, we can look up here on the screen. We're in 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to read a testimony from the Apostle Paul, all right? It's so early in his testimony that his name's not even Paul yet. It's still Saul of Tarsus, right? Now, Paul has a lot of testimonies, and they're often preached about. You can probably think of some of them. His conversion experience. His baptism story is amazing. Being brought back to life after being stoned to death. That's one of my favorites. Going on the first missionary journey. Preaching at Mars Hill. Being shipwrecked. Being snake bit yet not tasting of death. Doing the original jailhouse rock with Simeon. He's doing all of these. It's Paul and Silas, sorry. In the city of Philippi, too many great testimonies for us to even remember today. But I think it is fair to wager that the majority of people are not aware of this testimony. So we're going to learn about it. 2 Corinthians 11, 31. Let's look at this unexpected calling. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. Listen up, y'all. I'm not even lying about this. Y'all just listen up. The next verse, verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascens guarded in order to arrest me. Verse 33. But I was lowered in a basket. Everyone said a basket. From a window in the wall and slipped through their hands. Today, I want to preach to you about the time Paul was saved by a basket. Look at somebody and say, Paul was saved by a basket. Now, we know about this guy, right? Paul was called by God. God specifically, upon saving him, said, this guy is going to be my vessel to who? To the Gentiles. Anybody think that's important? It's kind of important. He's going to be my very vessel that I put my word and spirit in. He's going to go to a brand new set of people that we've never been able to really bring to God and bring to grace and bring to salvation. So Paul was called by God. God saved him from his Pharisee days and called him to be this vessel to the Gentiles. God hand selected this dude. Even before he was saved, God said, hey, Ananias, get a load of this. This guy is going to show up And I want you to pray for him. And he's going to be my vessel, Gentile. And Ananias is like, God, I don't think you know about this guy. This guy actually kills Christians. He's arguing with God. Let me tell you something about this guy. You don't understand, God. He kills Christians. I love that. We sometimes do that, right? We sometimes try to clue God in. God, let me kind of clue you in. You know, it's kind of important what I'm doing here. I need your help, right? We do that all the time. Ananias did the same thing. And this is Paul here. He's hand-selected to carry the message, the gospel of Jesus, to places it had never been carried before. He was important in God's plan. He had the call to go into all the world. But Paul couldn't get out of the city of Damascus. He's called to go into all the world. He's called to raise people from the dead. He is called to turn the world upside down, but he can't even get outside of his city. He can't even walk around in his city because the entire city of Damascus was on lockdown and the plan was to arrest and to kill Paul. Right. Acts chapter 9 verse 23 says, it reveals that the Jews conspired to kill Paul. This was not like some little slap on the wrist. He didn't pay his parking tickets. No, because he was proclaiming Jesus, they decided we got to kill this dude. And they were going to do everything in their power to do just that. Paul needed a way to get to his purpose. Man, isn't that us? We need a way to get from where we are to our purpose, beyond the walls of a city. It was an unexpected escape route in an unexpected vessel. Paul was saved by a basket. Just a simple basket. It was attached to a rope that was held by a few unnamed believers. We don't even know their names. For the next few moments, I want to preach to you about the basket. All right. Will you stay awake with me? You got it?
Yeah.
We're going to preach about the basket. Now, I am not sure how much you know about baskets. So I've watched countless of YouTube videos this week to learn about basket weaving. I even talked to an expert in the area who it was a Cub Scout. And he has his basket weaving badge somewhere. Marshall Blessing, let's give him a hand. He's a basket weaver. Did you know this? Did anyone else get their basket weaving badge? Anyone? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. All right. No one else. Losers. All right. The people of God are not losers. That was a joke. All right. The basket. Tell you some things about the basket. The basket had an unexpected purpose. What do you imagine a basket is built to carry? Stuff. Stuff. Small stuffs. A collection of small stuffs. We're talking like potatoes, vegetables, right? We're talking fruit. We're talking clothes. A small collection of stuffs. I wonder what the weight limits are on a basket. I have no way, there's no way of really knowing. I don't know. I couldn't find that website anywhere. All right. I'm certain that the maker of this basket never expected it to carry the full weight of an adult male over the city wall and off to go change the world for Jesus. How could you explain that? How could you expect that? So this basket, it had a completely unexpected purpose. Also, this basket had an unknown maker. We don't know who the maker is. He didn't sign his name to it in a way that we know about it. It's not told in any of the stories. Someone made this basket. We don't know who. We will never know who. But they sat in their workspace and weaved the basket that would save Paul's life.
Yeah, right. Amen.
There was no parade for the maker of the basket. They were just doing their job. How did they get into the business of basket weaving? We don't know. You think for a moment, maybe they hated basket weaving. Maybe it wasn't their first choice. They wanted to be an actor. But here I am, weaving baskets. Like a Shakespearean actor, totally, weaving baskets. All right, perhaps they had designs on their life that didn't work out, and they're weaving baskets with their mom. Maybe they were stuck in a job that they hated. Have you ever been a job that you didn't like, all right? You did not like this job. Maybe that's them. How do you feel when you're at a job that you don't like? You're like, oh, going into work. someone taught, my boss is coming. Smile, he walked past, oh, that guy, right? We don't, when you work in a job that you don't like, you don't always give it your best, am I right? It's just that, it's a natural thing. We should always give our best, but there's something about when you are doing something you're not passionate about, something that is the opposite of passion, it's kind of hard to get invigorated. All right, so this basket, it had an unknown purpose, it had an unknown maker. Also, can we just speak frankly about baskets? Baskets are boring. Look at somebody, say, baskets are boring, dude. Sermons on baskets are even more boring. So, please wake up, everyone. I'm almost done talking about baskets, okay? I know, just putting you to sleep. I've never really cared for monotonous jobs. You know, jobs where you do the same thing, countless repetition, over and over again. That's not really my preference. See, here's what you do. You do this one little thing, and you do that forever for the rest of the day. You just do that one little thing over and over. I can't stand that kind of work, right? That's the hardest thing about parenting, the monotonous. Don't hit your brother, right? Put the knife down. That the monotonous repetition of that phrase. Those monotonous, repetitious things, they are boring. And there are things in life that are just filled with that kind of monotony. They're going to put you to sleep. And you usually easily lose focus and start to make mistakes. The quality of your work goes down the more monotonous things are. You agree? So, baskets are boring. But last, here's something else you need to know about this story. The basket had an unknown purpose. It had an unknown maker. It was a boring job. But someone built a basket strong enough to save a life.
All right.
It's what they did. The basket, it was used unexpectedly. In fact, if you buy those certain things, it says, do not use like this. And some of those things are really funny, right? Here's a knife. Don't use it like this. And it shows a picture of a guy with a knife impaled into his chest. Right. I don't think they put little warnings on baskets, but if there was a warning, it would probably read, you know, don't put children or anything alive in this basket. Would you think that's what it would say? Don't do that or it will fall apart. All right. Don't do those things. So it was used completely against how it was designed, and it carries out an unexpected precious cargo. The Apostle Paul. We have no idea what else this basket weaver ever created in his life, right? We don't know that story. But in this one case, he did an amazing job. He or she, I don't mean to be sexist about it. This person did an amazing job. The basket they weaved was called on to do more than what anyone could have imagined this basket would do. Imagine with me the apostle in the basket. So they're like, hey, Paul, we've come up with a plan to get you out of the city. He's like, oh, praise God. I was praying for such a plan. Blessed Savior, this is so good. All right, what is the plan, fellas? He's like, get in the basket. And it's like, and then what? Well, we're going to lower you out of this window, and we're going to hold on to the rope. It's like, praise the Lord. I was praying that you would come up, Lord. And he did a lot of repenting, got right with God before he was probably lowered to the ground. Imagine how he was praying as he was in the basket. Imagine what he felt and kind of how he leapt and his ears, every sense in his body was really like working overtime, listening to every crack and moan of the basket. It's like, oh God, oh God, oh God, right? I'm about to fall all the way past the third heaven here. He says, all right, jokes, all right. Imagine what is going on through his mind. He never expected this scenario. Like, I was baptized by Ananias. I was told these wonderful things about how God was going to use me. I was not quite told about this moment. I didn't quite foresee this moment. I knew God was going to use me. I didn't know I was ever going to be in this predicament. I don't recommend it. All right. Paul wondered if he was even going to survive. He had to. Am I even going to make it out of this? And it's going to make a great testimony if I ever get out of this. But what was built into the basket said, yes, Paul, you're going to make it. Yes, Paul, you're going to make it. Okay. Like this basket, you have an unexpected calling. This basket, the basket maker, had an unexpected calling, purpose, all that. So do you. So do you. Each of us are called to carry unexpected burdens. In your life, there are passengers that you never expected to carry to safety. It could be in a moment. I remember this past year, I was driving in my car and I felt the Lord strongly impress me to stop the car and help a woman that was, her car had broken down in the road. So I helped her off the road, and then she got out of the car. She's pregnant, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you're pregnant. I can't believe I almost stopped. I really felt the Lord tell me to come around and help you. And she was like, oh, you believe in God? Could you pray with me? I'm like, absolutely. She had a situation. She was in danger of losing the baby. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is an unexpected calling. I almost drove right past it. But in that moment, God used me to carry the prayer of faith that brought salvation to her and her baby right there on Buckingham in Richardson, Texas. Is God awesome? Yeah. That's how God works. You don't wake up in the morning thinking, you know what I think I'm going to plan on doing today? That it doesn't work that way. It's these unexpected callings that can happen in a moment. It can be something that happened long ago that prepares you for one moment in time. It's an amazing thing. The ordinary can cause us to look past these moments. But there's unexpected assignments, unexpected purposes, unexpected callings, and they're coming to all of us. Fathers and mothers, can I tell you, you've got an unexpected calling. I tell you, when you have a child, it's your number one calling in life. I know you're big on your business. I know maybe you have entrepreneurial things. I know you got ministry things God's doing on you. But let me tell you, everything changes. You've got a brand new passenger, and you are called to carry their life. You need to be strong enough to save a life. Good. Grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends, you all have an unexpected calling on your life. People are going to be looking to you to carry them. You in the Church of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you have a calling, and it may be something you never expected. Sometimes we have the trouble in the church of placing, you know, all the expected power of God that rests on the pastor, all the expected calling of God that rests on the pastor, it rests on somebody that has a title in the church. Wrong. If you are a believer in Jesus, the Bible says that you're called. It says you're called. Do you realize that? Amen. You are a royal generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who should sow forth the praises of Him. Anybody know the words, the next words? Who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You are called. You're called. You're called. Well, I'm going to pray about a week and not eat and wonder and ask God if I'm called to do something. Let me save you the time. You're called. You're called. Not the question isn't, does God have something for you to do? The question is, God, what is it? Where is it? And can you prepare me for it? Put it in my heart. Build me up for the unexpected calling. Amen. That's what God's got for you. But here's what you got to do if you're ever going to do that. You're going to have to learn to fight the mundane. You need to learn how to fight the boring. You see, repetitive routine, it can rob us of our focus. The ordinary can sometimes cause us to think that right now is as important as other times. It can make us not understand that. Like, now is not important as other times, and you'll miss that moment. No, right now is as important as any other time. You come home every day from work and you miss the importance of the few hours you get to spend with your family. If you think about it, it's shocking how little time you get to spend with your family. You spend so much time at work. You can come home, and because it's routine and it happens every day and it's going to be the same way tomorrow, that you forget of how important the next few minutes are.
That's right.
Anybody that pulls out their phone at the dinner table is somebody that has forgotten how important that moment is. It is. I know it's convicting. It convicts me too. Students, you go to school for the 100th time in a semester. Like, if you're anything like me, it's like, yeah, we're starting this semester. It is. I hate school. Why am I here? Just slide into the precipice of awfulness. Because it's so repetitive. You read the same book. Great news. I went to class again. Another homework assignment. Isn't that new and special? Wow. All right. Don't let your eyes glaze over. Don't fall asleep, because you're building greatness in yourself. You're building knowledge in yourself. You're building strength in yourself. Even while you're working, saying, fluid, pay attention. You're building discipline. When you roll over and go, I think I'll sleep in, you're like, no, and you slap yourself across the face. And you say, you're going to class. You just built discipline in yourself. Fight the mundane. If you miss that stuff, you're like, hey, it's just another class. What is it going to matter? No, you're missing that moment. You see, this is some serious basket weaving time here. This is some time to build something that will save a life. You come to another church service. What are we going to do at church today? Oh, big surprise, we're going to sing. Oh, big surprise, he's got a sermon. Oh, big surprise, we're going to talk to God, right? Because it happens so regularly, you can forget the importance of this moment. I know this isn't the first sermon you've heard. I know you've heard me before. I know you might have even heard these scriptures before. But do you realize this moment matters? Wake up, it's basket weaving time. Don't miss the importance of the moment. Maybe when God talks to you, it's amazing how you can actually grow cold to God talking to you. Or you can lose the level of excitement of God talking to you. If you ever remembers, maybe you've had this moment where God speaks to you and you're like, holy cow, I've got to run, tell everybody God talked to me. I've got to run, tell everybody that the Lord is alive and he's well and he's speaking and he's powerful. But then years go on, God speaks to you again and you're like, oh yeah, that's good. Mundane. Routine. Repetitive. It will rob you from recognizing the importance of the moment. As we look back on our life, we see people who built a vessel that was strong enough to carry us. That's why Father's Day is so important, isn't it, to some of you? Yeah. Mother's Day, and these days where we remember our past, our family members. We know people, we can look back, and they built a vessel that was strong enough to carry us to safety. There were times in life we were trapped and we couldn't go any further, but we called on a grandmother, we called on an aunt, we called on a friend, we called on a pastor, we called on somebody, and they had built something in their life that carried us.
All right.
Our life literally was in the next words they said. Did you ever have one of those conversations where you had lost all hope? Maybe a conversation you were ready to throw in the towel on your faith, where you had given up on your marriage, that you had given up on a future, you'd given up on that, but somebody grabbed your hand, and in the only way that they could have done it, because they're so close to you in that relationship and the depth of what the truth in their words, they were able to reach you. Maybe they said words like, honey, listen, don't be that way. Forgive them. Forgive them. You know God wants to forgive them. He's forgiving them. And he's like, oh, that's right. And they talk sense into you. That was a basket. That was a moment that long ago, they had weaved together some faith, they'd weaved together some knowledge, they had weaved together some experience, and they had no idea that they were going to pull out this basket and set you inside of it and carry you to safety. But that's exactly what God used.
Amen.
Thank goodness for more stories like that. Thank goodness for stories like that. Let me tell you, if you have a story like that, that's also your destined future. You're going to have stories like that yourself. Where you are the person that's carrying someone to safety. Where would we be if they had not embraced the importance of that moment? Where would we be? Where would we be if grandma wasn't on her game that day? Or she was too busy watching her stories than to get down on her prayer bones and pray with you? Where would we be? Where would Paul have been if somebody was just a little bored at work that day when they built a basket and they missed a few weaves and they're like, nah, it's not important. It'll hold. It's good enough, right? Where would he be? He would have been fallen down. It would be a vastly different story. What if they had just gotten distracted by, like, they're working. They're like, oh, what's going on over there? And they're just distracted. Can you imagine what would have happened to the Apostle Paul? What if they would have just failed to build the strength required for the task in that basket? Can I tell you this? We said it in our video. I want to reiterate to you. Ordinary days do not exist. There is no such thing as an ordinary day. And we think that's what it is. We're like, oh man, God, glad we got past that week. It was a tough week. Now we're just going to just sit back. Everything's going to be just normal. We say normal like that's possible. That's impossible. Normal does not exist. Each day is an amazing opportunity.
Amen.
Each day. This could be the day that you have the important conversation that builds something into the life of someone else.
All right.
This could be that day. The other day I went to Sarah's work to see Sarah, and we're just walking along, and out of nowhere, somebody that worked in the subway right there in her hospital said, Oh, is that your husband? Is that your husband? I need to talk to him. I need to talk to him. I was kind of busy, but I was like, okay, let's talk. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Yes, let's pray right now. Pray right now. I was just expecting an ordinary day, you know, about a 25-minute walk around the hospital with Sarah, let her see the kids and everyone have a good time. No, it's not ordinary. It's not an ordinary day. God's on the scene. Do you know who made this day? There's nothing ordinary about the fella that designed and created this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in this. You know, we're not supposed to add to Scripture, I know, but let me add a little bit to it. I'll be passionate. I will be aware. I will be ready. I will be focused. I will be seeking the guy that made this day. Where do you want me to go today? This is the day the Lord has made. This is not your day. It's the day the Lord has made. Moms and dads, one day your kids will be parents. That is a shocking, crazy idea. But the longer I live, the more I know it's true. The longer I live, the more I know it's quicker than I think. I'm not talking about like having babies or anything. But I'm talking about things are moving so quick. I've already got a one-year-old. I can't believe he turned one yesterday. I can't believe my little baby's one-year-old. I can't believe it. Things are happening so quick. One day, your children are going to be parents. And you know what? They will most likely invest into their children like you invested into them. They will learn how to weave a life from you. What you do every day isn't just important for the day. It's important generationally. Abraham built an altar. Isaac built an altar because he saw his daddy build an altar. And Jacob, he built an altar. How did he know how to build an altar? How did Joseph know how to build? How did they know how to build an altar? Because they had seen it from their parents. I want you to create a basket that will save a life. Create a basket that'll carry someone beyond their obstacle and to their purpose. You can do that. Today's not a normal day. It's an opportunity to do unexpected, extraordinary things. What will you build today? Parents, can I talk to parents real quick again? Parents, you need to build together with God. A mom, a dad, and God. I know we have divorced parents, but listen, divorced parents, there's still a mom somewhere and there's still a dad somewhere. You ought to build a life through those children somehow together, even if you're not married, all right? That's not popular to say in a church, but it's true. And with God, how many is that? Everyone count. One, two, three. Mom, dad, God. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 with me. We're talking about building together. The one may be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A mom, a dad, and their God makes a three-cord strand. And it is not easily broken. Do you realize that that is how you weave a basket? You weave a basket with three cords weaving around each other over and over again. And that is where the strength comes from. We just received the word of God. Now we need to do something with the message we just received. Would you agree? Every time you hear from God, you ought to do something about it. Don't just be like, well, that was cool. Where are we going to go eat? Fuzzy's great. All right. Although Fuzzy's is fabulous. For the next few moments, we're going to give us some time to talk to God. And here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to not treat this like an ordinary moment. Oh, have you been in a moment like this before? Well, you've been in an altar time like this. Yeah, you've been to Redemption Church before. Yes, you've heard a sermon online before. Yeah. But this is not an ordinary moment. You need to do something unexpected in this moment. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to step from your chair today. I want to challenge you to come up to the space at the front of this church. We call this space the altar. We have communion here. You can take some time talking to God in communion. We have a place in the first 2 feet. If you want special prayer, if you want someone to pray with you, you come in the first 2 feet and you can do that. Do not think that it's an ordinary moment, because it is an extraordinary, unexpected moment right now. These altars are open. Why don't you come as I begin to pray? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the people in our life, God, Lord, that they have built strong lives and they carried us. Lord, I'm thankful for all the people that have shared Jesus Christ with me. I'm so thankful, God, Lord, for my mom and dad. I'm so thankful for my wife, God. I'm so thankful for our children. I'm so thankful for all of our Sunday school teachers in this church, God. Lord, I want you to minister to our hearts, God. I want us, God, to take moments for you to do the unexpected in us. I want us to set our hearts free, God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.